Not here, piano player's not here, but I got a message that's going to last a pretty good while, so God knew. Amen? God knew. Matthew chapter 12. Listen, I'm going to try to maintain a certain level tonight of teachability. You know how that goes sometimes. But what we're trying to do tonight, I'm going to teach you. There's a real good message. I want to title it The Setup, but I really don't care about the title. But if we're going to do it for the website, put it on there. There's a setup happening, or setup. There's a setup. But that'll take us to the end of the message to get there. What we're going to do is we're going to try to drill down into the core of legalism. I know as a minister, we're going to deal as Christians, as believers, we're going to deal more with legalistic stuff. It, more than any other problem we're going to deal with in ministry. You know, listen, I'm not saying you're not going to deal with issues when you're dealing with people's sins. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're going to have a problem, I'm talking about a recurring problem, it's going to be with legalistic people. Okay? And Jesus knew that. That's why He let this happen. He let Matthew chapter 12 happen. Okay? Matthew chapter 12. I hope I told y'all. Did I tell y'all Matthew chapter 12? Verse 1? Did I say that? All right. Verse 1. What did I say? Verse 10 or something? Well, good. I didn't say good. Well, if you don't say, then you're not wrong, right? All right. Are y'all ready to dive in? Are y'all ready to learn? Do you want to go out of here better than you came in? That's my goal. Yeah. I mean, I can't get no more saved than I am saved. So I want to go out better than I came in. Now, if somebody's not saved, you want to get saved. And then every time you come back to church, you want to get better than you came in. If you don't come to church and get better and go out, you need to really work on what's going on in your life. Because there's a lot there. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, for those that are just walking through the front door. Amen. I'm early, but I couldn't help it. I couldn't contain myself. At that time, Matthew 12, verse 1, I'm dragging my feet because I started early. 1 minute early. Ain't that right, Derek? 1 minute early? All right. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and His disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and did eat. Now, I want you to get this. It's not corn. It's wheat. All right? And corn didn't come along until the Americas, but it's a good translation. They're picking the wheat, and they're eating it. And Jesus. Let's cover this first and foremost. Who are they with? They're with Jesus, right? Now I'm going to have Kyle turn on the overhead projectors here in a minute. We're going to look at some scripture. And the first one I want him to go to is go to that 2 Timothy 3:16. And Kyle, I understand that's probably the one I told you we wouldn't use. And we'll use it first, okay? Because that's how dysfunctional I am. All right? So he's got that up there. All right, let's understand this. The disciples, the apostles, they're walking through this wheat field and they're hungry. It's on the Sabbath, by the way. They're on the way to the sanctuary. They're on their way to the synagogue. They're on their way, okay? And maybe they prayed all morning. Maybe they got in the book. Maybe they done some stuff with Jesus. Maybe He was teaching and they didn't eat. And on the way, they got hungry. And they're walking through. But I want you to understand they're with Jesus. Y'all got that? So if you're with God, you're okay. Okay? If you're following Jesus, you're okay. But I want you to get this. Do we understand that Jesus is God? Does everybody understand that? Jesus is God. God became a man and dwelt among us. He's Emmanuel. That's Jesus. Is that correct? Yes. He is the expressed image of God. Is that correct? When we see God in a man form, it's Jesus. Amen. All right. It's good. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So guess what? God wrote the whole Bible, and they're walking with God. So God knows what's right and what's wrong. Amen? So sometimes when you're walking with Jesus and you're doing what He's telling you to do, if somebody else says, hey, I don't like what you're doing, you remember, hey, God, I'm walking with God and for God. Now, if you're walking out of the will of God, this doesn't apply to you. If you're walking outside the will of God, you're not following Jesus, and you're not trying to do what God wants to do in your life, then you have a problem with God. You don't have a problem with people, you have a problem with God. Get that settled, then you don't have to worry about the people problem. I always say it this way, I'll live before God, and then God will let me live before people the right way. Amen? If I get my relationship worked out with Him vertically, I can work out any relationship I got vertically. Amen? Is that right? No. Let me say that again. Vertically, horizontally. I'm sorry. I was dragging on the ground when I should have been flying in the air, right? Amen. I'm staying pretty calm, ain't I? It's pretty good so far. Some of y'all don't think I could do this, but I can. Yeah, it's early. It's one point in. We're good. Jesus is God. God is equal to God head, and He's the fullness of God. Disciples are hungry, and they're eating, and while they're walking in the midst, I want you to understand what's going on, what's happening during this period of time. Jesus is on a miracle healing tour. I mean, He's casting out devils, healing blind people, touching withered people. I mean, hit one after another. I mean, devils being cast out. So guess what? They're doing this on the way to the synagogue, and Jesus, I mean, there are miracles happening, and these people are walking with Jesus, and they're just like, man, this is exciting stuff. And all of a sudden, they say, we're hungry. Now, I wish every time I've been reading this in the Bible for a long time, I've never preached it. One, probably out of a little hesitation. Number two, and most importantly, I've never been given it to preach. God gave it to me and said, listen, people need to know this. Guess what? There's going to be times that people are going to get on to you, and they're not going to get on to you about the important stuff. They're going to get on to you about stuff that really don't matter. And it's a them issue, not a you issue. Yeah, they were mad at Him for what? Picking up the grain and eating it, right? Hey, give me that verse. Give me the one in, what verse did I tell you that? Is it in Deuteronomy? Give me the Deuteronomy verse. Deuteronomy 23. Is that good? There it is. Good. All right, so let's look at it real quick. Are you ready? Let's look at the verse again. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and His disciples were and hungered, and they began to pluck ears of the corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to them, behold, the disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Woo! Big trouble. They got caught by the spiritual police. I would hate to be these guys. They're the people who can find a problem no matter how good things are going. They can find a problem no matter... I mean, they can solve any blessing by a problem anytime you get around them. And they're always looking. Listen, they're never looking to bless anybody. They're never looking to encourage somebody. They're always looking to nail somebody. Especially Jesus and especially Jesus' people. They're walking through this wheat field, and they're hungry. Now listen, I can almost get down with them. I can almost relate. If it had been a steak dinner and a big baked potato and some, just a spread. But dude, this is cold cereal to the extreme. I mean, I'm serious. This is... I don't know about you and me, but I mean that this meal that they're having has no benefit. I mean, to me, I'm sitting there thinking, dude, they're literally right. If you come down to it, it's like tree bark. Oh, come on! I know some of y'all like granola and stuff like this is nasty granola. You know, remember old school granola when it first came out, and all the hikers guys, I love them guys. But they're sitting there and they're, this is good. No, it's good. And you're like, dude, that's terrible. It tastes like tree bark. Now, granola's come a long way. And man, I'm going to try to redeem myself right there. Granola's made a big comeback. But this is, I mean, man, they're not living a lavish lifestyle. They're not trying to get over on nobody. But some people just can't. Listen, it's not a you thing, it's a them thing. It's a legalistic thing. It's a fearful thing. It's an angry thing. Amen? I want you to get that. It's a fearful thing. It's an angry thing. These guys, listen, let's read the verse. See, when I never knew this was in there. I didn't. I learned this as we were studying. Look what he says. When thou comest into a standing corn, in the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. You know, okay, let me give you that illustration. All right, long time from now, if you're walking through the wheat on a Sabbath day and you're hungry, go ahead and grab you a handful of wheat and eat it. But don't go to harvesting stuff. But see, what the legalistic person would say to you is, oh, I know what you're doing. You're having a personal harvest, and you're grinding it with your teeth. You're probably going to save some of that wheat for later to eat. Amen? That's how ignorant it is. When Jesus is walking with them, and He's talking with them, and he tells them, go ahead. He didn't stop them. If it was against God, God would have stopped them or burdened them. Hey, we shouldn't be doing this. But He has no problem with it. And I've got a problem with that. Oh, Kevin's got a problem with God. I've got a problem because I think, man, God, why didn't you just sustain their hunger? That way they wouldn't have to deal with this legalistic religious person. They could just walked on by and went on to the tabernacle and been happy. Amen? God, when they got hungry, why didn't you tell them, look, guys, huddle up. Come on, team, huddle up. Right? Come on in, guys, bring it in tight. Listen, we got some eyeballs on us. And today we're just not going to give them any credit. We're not going to give them any ammunition or fire against us. So we're just going to go on. It won't hurt you to do a little fasting and praying. We're just going to walk on down to the synagogue. Okay, guys? Let's not start no waves. He didn't do that either. You know why? And I want you to hear this because I'm teaching this the way I want you to understand it. You're going to run into more legalistic people in your ministry than you are going to run into anything else. And God wants you to know there's a way to go through it. You have to understand, if you're following Jesus and doing what you're supposed to do, you can hear what they're saying, but you do not have to stop what you're doing. You have to keep on going and doing what you're supposed to be doing. I don't know why y'all don't shout sometimes, because that's a shouter, isn't it? Because I have a feeling there's some people in here, you've been through some legalistic stuff. I have. I grew up in legalistic church. I mean, there's things that you can't do this, you can't do that. That's what church was to me for the most of my life. Can do this, I can't do that. Every time I went, I was like, what? This is what you can do, and this is what you can't do. And I was like, man, this is scary. It's hard. Hard. I couldn't do it. Amen? But then I got saved. God said, look, man, all I'm doing with you, Kevin, is I'm turning you. Right? Y'all get a hold of this. All I'm doing is I'm just turning you around. That's repentance, Bob. All I'm doing is turning you around. I want you to live free. I want you to be wide open for me. All I'm going to do is turn your direction. Amen? And I'm going to put my spirit in you, and He's going to do all the work and the changing in you. But guess what? Hey, I'm a God that's, I mean, goodness gracious, I'll set you free. Amen? I'll set you free, and I'll set you on fire. Now listen, I want you to get this. Here's what, make a note right here. Legalism adds to the Scripture. Get it? Now, I want you to make a point right here because it's important. Legalism adds. What they were doing, see, Jesus said, if you're walking through your neighbor's vineyard, the first part of that verse, but if you're walking through that field, you could take some of that grain and eat it. Listen, what they said is, nope, you're harvesting. You can't do that. What they did is they added a stipulation. Legalism always adds to the Scripture. And you don't have to abide by it because they're more in danger than you are. Amen? You all right? I'm teaching good stuff. You better hold on to this. Liberalism takes away. Woo! Liberalism takes away from the Word of God. It says some of the stuff that God said is not true, so therefore you can live just any old way you want to. There's ditches on both sides of the road. You want a free life? You want an awesome life? You want an exciting life? Live in the Scripture. Live on the main road of the Scriptures. Amen? And there will be enough, God, this is good, Mark. There will be enough liberty to live. You know that? There's enough liberty to live without going crazy. And there's enough law to keep you righteous and holy without going too far that way. Amen? And not having to run around and meter and mark everybody else's race. You don't like it, but I like it. Paul said, check this out. Here's what Paul said. I have ran my race. Whose race? You know what I found out about a race, Derek, in my lifetime? Every race I've ever ran, and maybe it's because I've always been just a little bit overweight. You didn't have to agree with that. I've always been a bigger guy. Amen? Stop smiling, Michael. Think nice. You understand what I'm saying? But But he said, I run my own race. Every race I've ever been into, when I was really running the race, I don't really know what's going on with everybody else. Because I'm breathing so hard and focusing on the finish that I could really care less. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess y'all ever been in a competition? You ever raced anybody? You see what car number 32, did you see what runner number 12 did? No, I was trying to outrun him. You understand what I'm saying? Run your race. Run your race. Amen? I ain't got a problem with people correcting or helping and encouraging. I ain't got a problem with that at all. But if you're just all your whole life, all your whole minute, there are some people that all they think their job is to do is correct other Christians. That's their job. It is not their job. Amen? It is not. And you're going to run into them. You're going to run into them more than anybody else. Let's go back and let's get this point. What are they operating in? Fear and anger. Most of the time, anger is a spawn of fear. Can I help you? Here, I'll help you, okay? Jesus came to Jerusalem, and he starts hitting people, and when he teaches, people feel alive. Amen? No, you understand what I'm saying. When they killed Jesus, when they killed and crucified Jesus, Pontius Pilate said, I know exactly why you're killing him. You're jealous of him. He's got more power and more influence, and he's bringing more people in because guess what? He's doing stuff that you can't do. Amen? When he speaks, people know he's not like one of the scribes. He's not like one of the Pharisees. He has power. I want that power. And you know what? He ain't like nobody else I ever seen because he's setting people free that have been in bondage of sickness and in pain and death and devils. Amen? And see, what happens is, religious people get afraid when somebody comes along and all of a sudden people start getting set free because guess what? They only got one gear and that's fear. Amen? Well, you better stick around here. People will call you. If you go looking for Jesus, then somebody will call you a church hopper. I just wanted to hop. When I knew I was going to preach that point, I said, I'm hopping. I really don't care what you call me. If you're serving desert in a cornbread, if you're serving cornbread in the desert, yeah, I get stuff backwards every once in a while. You've been married to me long enough, you should know by now. Do you understand what I'm saying? One talk too many. But do you hear what I'm saying? If you're serving me cornbread in the desert all the time, I'm going to go find some moisture. I'm going to go find some milk. Amen? Here, give me some milks to put my cornbread in. I don't know what part of the country you're from, but that's good stuff. Now, some of y'all go outlandish and say buttermilk's the best, but I don't know about you. Amen? I'll talk to you about that later. Amen? I'm just a vitamin D milk cornbread guy. All right, never mind. I'm sorry about that. I had to throw it in there. It's who I am. All right, so we get to that. So it's fear. So then guess what? Guess what you got to do next? If you're fear of something, you got to kill people. You got to make them scared. That's just something new. That's just something more. That's just something you can't do. They can't do that. That's just fear. And they got to fear you to death. And the next thing you know, they got to be so angry that they got to kill it. They got to destroy it. They got to destroy it. Oh, if it's something good and people are going to hear it, guess what? It's got to be wrong. It's got to be evil. Amen? It's a new. They're down there. You know what? They don't even wear white shirts down there. They don't wear white shirt and tie. And I bet that preacher, I bet he don't wear a suit coat every time he preaches. I guarantee he don't. You're right. Every time I put one on, it's terrible. Amen? I'm serious. I like them sometimes, but most of the time, amen? You hear what I'm saying? But guess what? Some people think you're not even a preacher if you don't preach in a suit. Amen? That's legalism. Amen? Well, if your hair's too long, get legalism, amen. Oh, beard, oh, he got a beard. Oh, God, why's a preacher got a beard? Jesus, thank you, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, Jesus, I'm serious. He had a beard too, and I'm like, it's a nice one. Well, anyway. But you understand what I'm saying? It's legalism. So there's only two things. They got to go fear, they got to go anger. Oh, fear and anger, fear and anger. See, somebody is scaring you and angry all the time. Why in the world would you want to go to church with somebody like that? Why in the world would you want to go every time you get around them? All they talk about is something you're doing wrong. You would never. Jesus never does that. Y'all good? We're just talking about Christians. We're talking about believers. All the apostles were saved, except for Judas. Amen? They were right. They were walking. They wasn't nothing wrong with them. They didn't need to be checked. Jesus definitely didn't need to be checked. Are you okay? Can I tell y'all something else? I will. You'll have in this church, while we're here, while we're alive in this church, amen? We'll see more drug addicts, prostitutes, liars, fornicators, pornography watchers, just regular old sinners, variety sinners, right? Some guy just ain't never been to church, comes to church, gets saved. We'll see more of those people get saved, but we'll rarely or never see the legalistic person get saved. Not only get saved, but we'll never see that person come to the altar and pray and say, you know what? I've been wearing people out, and I've been chasing people down, and I've been trying to catch them doing everything, even though they're trying to serve God to the best of their ability. You'll never see that person come and say, you know what? I'm wrong for doing that. I'm just telling you the truth. They'll never come, and they'll never say, you know what? This is what I'm doing wrong, and I'm sorry about that. So you better go ahead and write that down and understand it. It's not in them for that. Amen? They've got to destroy Christ, and they got to destroy the people that are walking with Him. That's just a fact. Okay, I wanted to add that point in there because I took a bunch of notes as I was praying and going over this thing, and I wanted to get everything I could out. I want y'all to get every weapon we got in this thing. Amen? Because I know for a fact, this church, we're going to come under attack. We're going to come under attack by the devil, but we're also going to come under the attack from the devil, from legalistic stuff on a regular basis, and we're going to have to deal with it. Amen? And as long as you're following Christ, or walking with Christ and trying to serve Him to the best of your ability, don't let that stop. Smile, step around them, and keep moving. Keep serving God and let Him deal with it. All right? Yeah, I think so. Now listen, y'all ready? But He said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only the priest? Or have you read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests of the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Y'all good? Give me that other verse, Kyle. Give me that verse in Hosea, okay? We'll get there in a minute, but I want you to see this. Okay. Jesus is the God of the Sabbath. Amen. Let me rephrase that. Jesus became our Sabbath. Y'all good? Jesus became our Sabbath. He did. Okay? Now listen. Okay, some of y'all say, well, how is that possible? Okay, did he become, don't hate your neighbor, let's see. Love your neighbor, right, with all your heart, mind, and strength. Don't steal from your neighbor, right? Don't blaspheme God. Is that some of the commandments? Is that right? Thou shalt not steal. Am I close? We took them out of school. I don't know if we know them anymore. Okay, we got that. Are those the commandments? Okay, Jesus was every one of those commandments. When He died on the cross, He died for every ordinance and every commandment and every law and ordinances that was against us. Do you understand that? So what happens is Jesus not only took all the sin on the cross, He took the law and the ordinances on the cross. You understand? So when you've stolen or you've lied or you've blasphemed or you didn't love your neighbor the way you're supposed to, guess what? He became your sacrifice for not doing that. Okay? So you're innocent in that. So guess what? A lot of people have a hard time swallowing this pill, but guess what? One of the commandments is keep the Sabbath. Jesus, my God, I try to hold on. Don't lose control. Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus is our rest. He's not a day. He became who He is. Amen? He fulfilled that law in Him. He is our rest. Come, all ye heavy laden. and I give you rest. Well, that's how he gave you rest. He became your Sabbath. That way, you can worship Jesus on any day, in any place, in spirit and in truth. Man, you understand? You understand what I'm saying? And so somebody gets you, you're doing this on the Sabbath, you profane the Sabbath. Listen, I profaned the Sabbath because I wasn't even able to keep the Sabbath. You understand? You're not, I don't know about everybody in here, but I'm not Jewish. I couldn't keep the Sabbath anyway. Because who am I going to take my sacrifice to? The high priest? I don't have one. Amen? I'm not in the 12 tribes of Israel either. Amen? So I'm a Gentile. So guess what? I'm on the outside looking in, except for Christ who became everything for me to let me in. Amen. Oh, that's good. That's kind of good stuff. Amen. So Jesus was telling, guess what? I am. I am everything that you need. Amen. You're still talking about commandments and rules and laws that you couldn't keep. Amen. But you couldn't keep. See, that's the problem with a legalistic person. They can't identify the fact that they need the same grace, the same mercy, the same love, and the same forgiveness over and over and over, just like you do. Same. They don't. There's nothing righteous about them except Christ. None. Y'all ready? For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. That's Hosea 6:6. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You know what he's saying? When you look on somebody, you should have mercy. You know what? If somebody's hungry and they're dying of starvation, I mean, they're just starving to death and they're hungry, it's all right if they grab some wheat and satisfy their hunger. And as a believer in Christ, you should say, man, that's okay. God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step on in this real quick. You know, I'm not the kind of preacher that wears people out about where they're at all the time. Why ain't you? Because I'm not legalistic. I'm not legalistic. I believe this. If you love Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you love this church, and you're committed to it, you'll be here and you'll come back. You'll be here when you're supposed to be here. You'll know when to be here. And if you're off doing something that that God's okay with and your family's okay with, guess what? I'm okay with it too. Boy, howdy. Everybody right now is making a note. I can lay out anytime I feel like it. No. Listen, I want you to hear this. If this is your church, you be here when you're supposed to be here. That's all I'll tell you about that. And that's between you and God. Work it out. Amen? Work it out. That's the freedom you have in Christ Jesus. If I wear you out every time, where you at? What you doing? What you doing? You know what? Eventually you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to avoid you every chance I get. Amen? Y'all ready? Can I give y'all a personal one? Are you ready for a personal one? I'm going to throw a personal jab in here because this didn't happen to me. Are y'all ready? Give me that other verse. What is it, Kyle? Hebrews 10:25? Yes. All right, good. I love this one. This is a personal job. I got this one. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and as much more as you see the day approaching. 10:25. Amen. Guess what? Where? Where? Here? Down the street? In Jerusalem? Tennessee? Nashville? Kentucky, Afghanistan, China, Gatlinburg, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, under a sheet in China in the middle of the night. Anytime, anywhere. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. It's very general. It's general. It's generic. Amen? Generic. A legalistic person would say, I know exactly when this time is, and they'll tell you when to be there. Amen? What meeting? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Right? Okay? That's a good one. Amen. But let me say this. If I meet with you, if I meet at 8 o'clock and you meet at 10 o'clock, was my 8 o'clock meeting any better than your 10 o'clock meeting? How about the 2 o'clock meeting down in Chattanooga at this church that doesn't have a title on it? Was it any better than the church meeting that we had here at 11? Legalistic person would say so. I say, it is not. Amen? God, if you're lifting up and glorifying, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst. We have a God who transcends buildings, times, and places. Amen? That was good. Worked out perfect. Y'all ready? I'm going to give you all the backside of this message. I told you I'd be along, but guess what? We didn't have any singing. We're running right on time. Goodness gracious, I told you it's going to be a long message. Y'all ready for the setup? Y'all ready for the setup? It's a good setup. Look at this. Verse 9. And when he was departed, I gave y'all verse 8, didn't I? Let me read it. For the Son of Man is the Lord even on the Sabbath day. He is our Sabbath. Verse 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. He stretched forth his hand, and it was restored whole like the other. It was a setup. A setup. See, I read the scriptures, and guess what? That man was not supposed to be in the synagogue. They were waiting on Jesus. They were waiting for him. They had went out and got them a guy who had a withered hand, and they sent him in the temple. If they were really worried about him, they would have been praying for him and encouraging him and trying to get him help and trying to get Jesus there quickly to get the man help. They weren't worried about the withered man. Religious, legalistic people really don't care about broken people. What they care about is themselves. Starting to get a little aggravated on that one. But I want you to say, they worry about themselves. And they waited for Jesus. It was a setup. It was a setup. It was a setup. We're going to see what he does with this one. The enemy will set you up for failure. See, I thought we'd have a little bit of shouting and running right here. Because the enemy set me up before, big time. He set me up. Religious people set me up. I mean, the people that, you know, they pray for, they're not praying for you. They're sharing prayer requests. Amen. In the name of prayer request, they're telling all the stuff that you've done, right? Y'all hear me? They were setting him up. We got a withered. I know somebody with a withered hand. It's old John's boy. We'll get him down here at the church. They didn't really care about John's boy. And he's standing there in a temple, and he's like, man, I can't believe they're finally letting me in. It's been a long time since they let me in the temple. It's been since my hand was drawn up. I wonder what they're doing. This is so strange. I can't believe they're actually letting me in here. It's been so long. Man, I love being in the temple. And all they were doing is worrying about what Jesus was going to do. And guess what? The enemy, the devil, everybody had a setup against you. Against you and against me. Let's see what Jesus does with them. And Jesus loves a good setup. Because while everybody else is playing checkers, Jesus is playing chess. Amen? Oh, I think I got Jesus in a double jump right here. I'm about to move my bishop. Hey, man, I don't even know anything about chess. I took a stab in the dark. I took a stab in the dark. I know a pawn's like the littlest one, but I'll go with a bishop. Maybe some of y'all know any better. Guy with a withered hand sitting over going, I don't know what's going on. I can tell they're up to no good. I can tell they're not loving on me. I can tell they're just wanting to put me out here. But look at this Jesus. He comes right to him. Hey, friend, how's it going? He goes, man, I can't believe they let me in a temple. Jesus, I can't believe they let me in the temple either. Woo! I can't believe I'm standing here. While I'm standing here, guess what? Somebody's getting a new hand. It's going to be you. They're watching you. Hey, Jesus, they're watching. You don't want to heal nobody like me, Jesus. Yeah, I do. See, you got a withered hand. Oh, you've got an addiction. You've sinned real bad. You've got a mess. But see, when I save you, I can put my back to your back and we'll fight the enemy. See that guy over there? I can't put my back to his back. Because as soon as I turn my back to his back, he's going to kill me. Amen? He's going to kill me. Because he's not for me. And he's not for you. But I am for you. And what the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. Remember old Joshua standing out with his boys, with his brothers. It's at the end. His daddy's passed away, and he's standing there, and they're looking at him like, what are you going to do now? You want to get revenge now? Daddy's gone. You've been trying to play it out cool since Dad died. Now you're going to do what you're going to do. He said, listen, guys, you don't have a clue. Everything you guys did to me, God used that to do good stuff in my life, do great stuff, save many, many people alive. I'm glad I went through the hard stuff. Amen? Listen, I'm not proud of my sin. I'm not proud of where I came from. I'm not. I'm not proud of any of the stuff that I did, but I am glad that Jesus touched somebody that he shouldn't have touched and saved somebody he didn't save. That way, you know what? I owe God a lot. I know I can't get on into heaven by anything I do or whatever, and you can't either, but we're going to fight like it. We're going to work like it. I'm going to work like it all depends on me, but I know it depends on him. Let's all stand. Let's all stand.